What if you could take your brain to a place where it learned faster and remembered longer? That's what neuroscientists are trying to prove. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with an author about redefining what it means to mentally train athletes. That conversation starts now.
Hello and thanks for listening. Hall of Fame New York Yankee and verbal raconteur Yogi Berra famously said that baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. Elite athletes compete at such a high level that a 1% improvement can be the difference between gold and silver or extra distance on a ski jump or being able to hit a 102-mile-an-hour fastball. This week, we are looking at neuroscience and its incursion into athletic training. But not just athletics, though. Think of anything that requires repetition and practice, like music or learning a new language. First up, though, is baseball and the brain. Our guest and author has been researching and reporting in the sports business arenas for years.
And essentially trace skill in a hitter, and it had nothing to do with his muscles or his physicality. It had everything to do with his decision-making and what was happening in his brain.
His eye-opening SB Nation long-form piece called Take Me Out to the Brain Game on the scientists who are pioneering technology that blends sports and brain imaging sparked the conversation around neuroscience and athletic genius. And here we go.
Zach Schoenbrunn, author of The Performance Cortex.
And I read your New York Times piece, too, Zach, How Do Athletes' Brains Control Their Movements? Fascinating story. Great book, too. Let's talk about how you found this story, because my wife's also a Columbia alum.
I have to give proper credit to my wife, you know, as always. I'm sure she'll be listening to this. She deserves it. She's the one that discovered a small little blurb in Columbia Alumni Magazine around 2014. And this blurb was about these two neuroscientists. They were currently postdoctoral students at Columbia at the time. And they were starting to do some work with Major League Baseball teams in using a neuroimaging technique called EEG to basically quantify and assess decision-making in professional hitters. And so Major League teams were interested in the information that they could provide. And obviously Jason and Jordan, the co-founders of the company DeServo, they were interested in getting involved in this next, potentially next wave of sports science. So I found these guys. I originally wrote about them in 2015. And, you know, I just continued to, it was like a song that couldn't get unstuck out of my head. I continued to keep thinking about what exactly they were doing, how this could impact the future of sports. But even on a grander scale, you know, really interested me that they could pinpoint decision making and essentially trace skill in a hitter. And it had nothing to do with his muscles or his physicality. It had everything to do with his decision making and what was happening in his brain. And so I started to think, what is the role of decision making, and can we trace skill or think about skill in different ways in other athletes and other sports? And so that's what provoked me and prompted me on this journey and has resulted in this book.
You know, Zach, recently on this show, we had the director of Stanford's basically virtual reality department and school academy. They've been working with the 49ers as well as the NFL and the NBA with just decision making for referees specifically. Let's talk a little bit about DeServo, though. Like, let's drill into it. How does it interact with the athlete?
DeServo uses EEG, which is a neuroimaging technique, and it's a piece of equipment. It kind of looks like a metallic hairnet is kind of how I would describe it. It's basically an electrode cap, and you wear it on your skull, and it's got various electrodes that are located around different points of your skull. I think there are 16, maybe 12 or 16 different electrodes. And so they are basically recording activations of your neurons in your brain. And the way that EEG works is it works on a very short temporal scale. So it's perfect for baseball because obviously a 95-mile-an-hour pitch does not take very long to get to home plate. So the EEG can actually record, I believe it records every 2 milliseconds, which is 2/100ths of a second. And so, you know, it's able to record that quickly. And so it's perfect for a sport like baseball where you obviously, as I said, you have a short amount of time to respond to a pitch. And so these neuroscientists who are working with EEG are able to track decision making to the very millisecond that it is being made in the hitter. And of course, these decisions are to swing and not to swing. It's a binary decision when you're hitting, but for the first time, they're able to detect when a hitter decides not to swing. We could always see when he decides to swing because he swung, right? It's a movement.
Right.
But they could actually detect when a hitter decides not to swing because it involves a neuron activation just the same as a swing, except there's no motor output.
We're speaking with Zach Schoenbrunn. He's the author of The Performance Cortex, among other things. You work for The Times and several other outlets as well. I was wondering, when you were doing research for this book, and you are in my swing zone, I'm a seam head and I love tech, so you can go as deep as you want on this. What did you find as a macro takeaway? Are all the clubs into this kind of thing?
Well, so DeCervo, to this point, has spoken with 28 of the 30 Major League Baseball clubs. And, you know, those, most of them are just kind of like a first date. How you doing? What can you offer
right.
me? An introduction. And they have gone further and signed, in fact, consulting agreements with about 10 Major League teams. But, you know, still the interest is kind of varied. I'd say there's a healthy curiosity, but it's still a very nascent technology, and it's not well understood by these teams exactly what it can provide right now. So there's two avenues that I think teams are interested in figuring out which way to go. The first is using this tool as a scouting and assessment device, basically another form of analytics in which you can possibly scout future players. This kind of maybe this Moneyball 2.0 using the brain rather than the on-base percentage or something like that. And so if you test enough players, you can maybe develop a baseline for saying, okay, the best hitters that we have on our team are all responding to pitches between 350 and 300 milliseconds. And so then, you know, should I then scout and look for future prospects that reflect the same decision making in that same time frame and maybe rule out those who don't? I mean, that seems to be kind of, that might be a little harsh, but they could at least use that information to factor into how they're going to draft or scout. And so that's one avenue that teams are kind of exploring. And the other is through training. And this is, again, another metric that teams or players can use to understand what they're good at and what they're not good at, because DeCervo is able to break down pitch by pitch when decisions are being made. And so you can see if you're deciding much more quickly at a fastball than you are at a curveball, even though your swing might not reflect that, and even though your batting average might not necessarily reflect that, the decision making can still show that, and you can make adjustments to perhaps improve your batting average and improve your swing. But what it comes down to, Jason, is it's going to take more time, it's going to need a lot more data to be collected, and we're still very much at the tip of the iceberg here.
Let me stay right here just for a second, Zach, if I could. You said 28 out of 30 clubs have kicked the tires with DeCervo,
yeah,
and probably maybe a couple of other companies and whatnot. But you also mentioned Moneyball in there, too. Moneyball was a fundamental shift in how clubs run their teams. And you said this was a nascent technology. They're just kicking the tires. They're just having that first date. But do you get a sense when you come out of this that the technology really is kind of an extrapolation from the statistical paradigm shift that we had after Moneyball?
Yeah, definitely. No question. I mean, the teams were viewing this, and DeCervo was pitching this as a new form of analytics. And I think that's what interested me about what they were doing, because they were not promising any performance benefits to their program. They were not targeting themselves as a cognitive gaming or brain training device. They were saying, we have a technology that can provide you information that no one could ever provide you before. And you can do with that information whatever you like. You can use it for scouting, you can use it for training or whatever. We're not going to promise that your players will get better, but you could potentially use that information for whatever you like. And so, you know, in that vein, I think they absolutely position themselves as a data and analytics company, and it fit the mode of where baseball has been headed the last decade in trying to gather more and more information. And, you know, Moneyball transformed the game, obviously, and we now have, you know, zillion statistics
right.
break down every single aspect of baseball. But every one of these statistics, at least for hitting, has to do with post hoc analysis. It's all after the swing or after the pitch has been caught by the catcher and the decision has already been made not to swing. This type of information occurs just in that time frame of the 400 milliseconds that it takes for a pitch to reach home plate. We've never had access to that information before, and what DeCervo was able to find is that that information can actually tell you a lot.
Zach, it's a great book, and I have to say the blurb from Sports Illustrated was so great. It's a must-read for the cerebral sports fan, like Moneyball, except nerdier, much nerdier. Are you cool with that blurb? Because I was.
Yeah, I got a chuckle out of that. I mean, it's not the first time I've been called nerdy, so I'm cool with it.
Zach, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Great speaking with you as well.
That was Zach Schoenbrunn. Zach is the author of The Performance Cortex, How Neuroscience is Redefining Athletic Genius. Zach writes regularly for The New York Times, covering sports and business. His work has also appeared in Bloomberg Businessweek, ESPN The Magazine, SB Nation, Vice, Newsday, The Washington Post, and Yahoo Sports, among others. For links to Zach's work and all of the sourcing for any of our podcasts, you can find the show notes online at kgoradio.com. Coming up next, we stick with the brain and the neuroscience that goes with it, and it fits into some headphones, but somehow stimulates the cortex.
It's through, in this case, physical training repetitions. So for an athlete, what we ask is wear it for 20 minutes, generally during your warm-up. Right after the session is done, then jump straight into your training and feed that motor cortex deliberate, thoughtful physical training repetitions.
Repetition and enhanced performance and the brain. That's all next. So please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.